Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording from Wellspring Church in central Watford. You may have found us via our website, wellspring-church.org. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But even better, why not come to one of our services in one of our congregations? We would love to meet you and encourage you along your journey of faith. With that in mind, do know that we are praying for you, that as you listen to this recording, you'll be inspired, encouraged, challenged, given keys to live life to the full as Jesus intended, and to bring transformation with his amazing love to the people around you. God bless you.
Hey, good morning, church. Are you doing well? Good. I should have been in a beyond attire, but I didn't prove to be a great model. Actually, they didn't have my size. They only go up to 2XL, and they didn't have petite. You know, so we're looking this year into a main verse, which is in Ephesians 3. And that verse speaks about the love of God, but it starts with this, that you may have the strength, okay, to experience, to know, to deeply and experientially know the love of God. How wide, how long, how deep, how high, how everything. It's multidimensional. And we are in that part of wide. And we're looking into the journey of Abraham to express the width of the love of God. So I will look with you into a part that starts in chapter 17. And this is where God meets Abraham. And it will come on the screen. It's slide 10. If it will come on the screen. And it's chapter 17, and we read from verse 1 to verse 8. Okay? Would you like to stand with me and read the scriptures? Okay? It's always good to stand and read the scriptures, you know? Okay, let's read together. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, Abraham fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you father of a multitude of nations. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham. For you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you. For generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give you the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner. To you and to your descendants, it will be their possession forever. Amen. Their God. Amen. Be seated. There was a time where actually in the Christian circles, people started changing their name and, you know, they would say, for example, God told me to call myself David and all of that stuff. Lovely. But I want to talk to you about what is happening there. But in order to really understand that thing about changing name and why is God doing this, remember as well, God didn't do it with everyone. Okay? So just that you won't get the inclination all of a sudden to change your name, there is no need really, okay? Unless really God speaks to you, that's fine. But if you notice, God didn't change the name of everyone he met, okay? Isaac stayed Isaac, yeah, okay? So a lot of people stayed the same name. David stayed the same name. If when we started, it was chapter 12, and what happened was this. God told Abraham, leave. Leave and go. Leave and go. And I will give you a land, or I will show you a land. I'll make you a nation, and I'll make your name great. And I will bless you. I'll show you a land that you don't know yet. I'll make you a nation. And this is tied to the land because there is no nation without a land, yes? Okay? There is ethnic groups without nation or land, but there is no nation without a land. I'll make your name great. Yes, it is in the NLT. It says famous because it gets along with our culture now. Everything is about being famous, yes? You go to the X Factor and you don't know how to sing a note, but it will give you your 5 minutes of fame. Or maybe you would be immortalized on YouTube, you know, your clip making absolute and utter ridiculous thing of yourself. But anyway, so everyone wants to be famous, yes? But that's not what actually God is promising Abraham. He's telling him, I'll make your name great. We'll come back to that. And I'll make you a blessing, okay? Land, nation, name, blessing. And then he goes down 12, verse 7, and he says, this is the land. This is the land. Look, this is the land. I will give it to you and your descendants. And then he meets them again. He meets him again, and he says, I'm blessing you. You're going to be my guy. Look at the dust. Look at the stars. All of that. You have that in chapter 13, and then you go to chapter 15, and you have a covenant. God is telling him, do not fear. Let's bring that on the screen. Chapter 15. And God is meeting Abraham at the time. And he's telling him, do not fear. I will be your great reward. I will protect you. And I will be your great reward. And you're thinking, why should he fear? This was just on the back of him fighting to save Lot, his nephew, with only 300 soldiers. Gives you a parallel to Gideon, by the way, those who are interested in the Bible. Okay? And he won. He won against five kings. And he got all the people, all the possessions, everything. Why should he fear? And then here comes Abraham's response, and you get the fear. You get the fear. He's saying, well, what would you give me? I am still childless. You promised me descendants. You gave me promises. The land is still inhabited by the Canaanites. I am still childless. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I have many possessions. But my fear is still with me. Not just because of that. I just handed over my wife to Pharaoh. I was afraid that they would kill me. I was afraid that they would kill me. So I thought, okay, let me hand over my wife. Say that she is my sister. So if he wants to marry her, I'll be fine with that. Can you imagine? If you're a lady, can you imagine your wife doing that? If you're a guy, can you imagine looking in your wife's eyes after doing that? I don't know about you. I come from the Middle East. Doesn't sit well. Yeah? Do you see the amount of fear that Abraham has? Can I tell you something, guys? All in this room, men, women, children outside, we all have that fear. We all do things that are unbelievable when that fear really tightens its grip on us. We're willing to lose the most important things, to damage the most important things in our lives. Because we're afraid. And God appears to Abraham and tells him, do not fear. He looks victorious. And God is still telling him, I know you, son. I know you. Do not fear. I know you have an army. I know you just want to fight. And I know you're afraid. I know you're scared. Do not fear. And I know you are scared of tomorrow because you don't know what tomorrow would bring you. You're still on that journey of faith. And you don't really know what I'm going to bring to you. Do not fear. Do not fear. I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to be your protector. And I'm going to be your great reward. Now notice the change in this language. He's not telling him, remember, I have promises for you. For you in particular. A land. A great nation. A great name. A blessing. Now God really brought it to that place where he's saying, I am your reward. I am your reward. It's not the blessing. It's not the land. It's not the nation. It's not even your name. I am your reward and your great reward. Here's the thing about the journey with Abram. Abram comes, his story comes at the end of chapter 11 and from chapter 12 and going on. And from there on in Genesis, it's the story of a family. Okay? But this comes at the back of, in Genesis, the first section in Genesis. So we always divide Genesis into two sections, 1 to 11, and then 12 till the end, which is 50. Okay? And the first 12 are telling us a horrible story of us. That God wanted this relationship. God wanted to be our great reward. God wanted to be our protector and our God, our Lord. And man didn't choose that. Disobeyed God, wanted to be his Lord, his name, his own blessing. Wanted to be blessed, yes, but he wants his name. You go through the story and you see that. You see, for example, the end of chapter 10 and 11, you get to the Tower of Babel, yes? And what they're saying, I think 11:4, they're saying, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's build a tower. We won't be dispersed. We won't be attacked. We won't be dealt with like what happened before. Let's build something for ourselves. We reach heaven and we make a name for ourselves and no one controls us. No one disperses us. And you get Abram, the opposite. God is telling him the first thing, leave. We don't get sent away. We don't get dispersed. Leave. And don't make a name for yourself. I'll make a name for you. And don't build a tower for yourself. I'll give you a land. I'll make you a nation. See, the thing is this. We always think that our own interest, the only one who cares for our own interest is me. I care. No one will care for my interest. And God's saying, well, the thing is, I do care for your interest. And here is the thing. When you care for your interest, you mess it up. You think you will reap the good things. Let me tell you, you will only reap the bad stuff. This is the spiritual law of existence. You're self-centered. You live for yourself. You die. And a lot of times you die by your own hand. Jesus said this. You look for yourself. You try to save yourself. You perish it. You kill it. But you forget about yourself. You trust me with yourself, you'll be saved. Do you see, the whole Bible is the same story. From beginning to end, stories are repeating and there are themes that are woven all through the different books of the Bible and they are telling you the same truth. God loves you, and your good is actually in getting out of yourself, trusting him in his goodness, and choosing to live obediently, faithfully for him. And this will achieve you. You will get achieved, you will get actualized, you will get to reach what you were created to be if you live like that. You see, Abraham showed faith, but he's a man like us. You know, he had his own weaknesses. So God met him in Ur of the Chaldeans, and still he left with his father and nephew. Though he told him, leave. Don't just leave the land, leave your kindred, leave your father's house. He left with his father. And God killed him on the spot. No. God went with him. They went to Haran, stayed there. God didn't say stay there. God said, follow me, I'll show you land. But stay there, no matter what the reasons are. God kept staying with him, faithful, kind, gracious, merciful. Took Lot with him. There could be a good reason, you know, maybe he felt Lot is too young. There were other, the rest of the family were there, but anyway. And God, okay, sure, no worries. Got him to Shechem and started telling him, oh, this is the land. Then he felt the pressure of the Canaanite living it still in the land, and he went to the Negev, and then he went to Egypt. God didn't tell him to go to Egypt. He messed it up big time there, okay? And God still intervened. I mean, if it was me, I'd have said, man, there is no hope in you. Come on. This is as low as you can get. And God still intervened for his own sake and blessed him and got him out of Egypt with material possessions. Till he came back to the lost place where he was in communion with God, called on the name of the Lord, and God spoke to him again. God keep going with him. And then God meets him in chapter 15 and gives him that amazing promise. And then he tells him, how would I know that? So God said, okay, I want to show you that I'm really serious about this. So God did the first part of a covenant with him. So in those days, there used to be a covenant that you used to, and the literal word for it, cut a covenant. Okay? So he told him, get me those five sacrifices. Cut them in half. And then God put him to sleep, and only God passed. Only God made the covenant. It's like God showing his hand. Look, I am taking an oath. I'm going to be with you. If I would go back on my word, I would be cut in half. In the Middle East, that's the meaning. If I would become disloyal, unfaithful to the terms of the covenant, to being with you, to being for you, always, may I be cut in half. May I lose my half. We're becoming now jointed. That's the covenant. That's why we have a covenant of marriage, not a contract of marriage. Okay? Are you getting that, guys? It's a covenant. Unbreakable. Okay? That it's as if those two parts will be joined together as one. Because God is in the middle. You'll find a reference to that, by the way, in Malachi. And God is saying, I'll cut a covenant. And he did cut a covenant with him. Not signed yet. That's the circumcision coming. Don't worry. Okay, coming in chapter 17. And God cuts a covenant. And here is Abraham saying, ah, yes. Yeah, as many as the stars, like the dust on the seashore. I'll have great stuff. Gets up after that, and then here comes Sarai. And she tells him, I was thinking about the promise of God, and you know, God rewards good, diligent, you know, hardworking people. So what about you have Hagar? She's my handmaiden. I own her in a way. And you get me, notice the language, get me a son from her. And this might be the way that God actually will give us descendants. Yeah? I mean, in terms of blessing, we have possessions. So that's done. Your name is a good name already. I mean, his name means exalted father. High father. You know, like, not high, high, lifted up. Okay? And so we need to make you a father, really, because it's kind of weird. You know, imagine someone, like, if my dad would have called me gorgeous, for example. And, yeah. Okay, you know? So what about getting us a son? It has to still be your son, I understand. So she belongs to me. Her offspring would belong to me. It's legally right. So she's a surrogate mother. And I'm consenting. Yeah? All good. And Abram just met with God. He had the commandment. He had the covenant. He's the only one mentioned in the covenant. Have you noticed? You know? And then what does he do?
Yes. Let's do that.
Do you see the fear? Fear would get you to do things that are absolutely stupid. Fear would get you to do things that are totally idiotic. And you won't notice. Because you know why? When you are in such a fear, your emotional brain is buzzing, is switched on. And scientifically, when your emotional brain is switched on, your rational brain is switched off. Okay? So he's saying, yes, great idea. And I didn't do it behind your back. And we get Ishmael. Yeah? And whatever you get by the flesh, you would have to lose. Have you noticed God told him, as you heard to Sarah, you know, go into Hagar. That's the literal word in the Bible. So listen to her. Listen to her again, Abraham. Send Hagar and her son away. Church, who are you listening to? Are you listening to your fear? Are you listening to the wisdom of the world? Who are we listening to? And then Hagar and Ishmael are staying with them. Ishmael grows up and he becomes, I don't know, 18 or whatever, no, 14, 13. And God shows up and he changes Abraham's name to Abraham. Now, let me tell you about this. I think there is a slide that can come on the screen here. And Abraham is made of certain letters. You see, this is the Aleph because it's written this way, okay? Aleph, Beit, the second one, Resh, that's the curvy one. And the yellow one is He. He. Everybody says He. Okay, that's the fifth letter in the Hebrew word. Okay, and Hebrew is like the Roman, so the letters are as well numbers. And the number five in the Bible is God's grace and goodness. Okay, I don't have a time to unpack this, just believe me for it. God's grace and goodness. But as well, when a letter comes in the middle of a name, it's God's divine presence. It's God's breath coming in someone. It's not just changing his name to become the father of multitude, which again, still ironic. So your name was great father, and you only have one child, and now you're father of multitude. Come on, man. You know? Imagine how people are actually mocking him behind his back. And he accepted. He accepted that. And God changed as well the name of Sarai. The end of the name of Sarai here, that's a yod. This little tittle, like a comma. That's a yod, which means a hand. And it's still the same meaning. That was meaning my princess. Her name would still mean princess. But instead with her hand, by my spirit. Okay? Now here's the thing as well. When a hey get at the end of a name in Hebrew thinking, it means you will be fruitful. And what did he promise her? Fruitfulness. And you will become fruitful. You will become a mother of nations. And God in this transaction, when he's changing the name, he's telling him this. Look, Abraham, we're going through that journey together. I didn't choose you because you were perfect. I didn't choose you because you were strong. I didn't choose you because you're a great guy. You're a normal person with all your fears and your sins and your mistakes, and you do terrible stuff. But it's not about you. It's about my faithfulness. This is why I walked through the covenant. And let me tell you, you will not become what I want you to be. You will not become a father of nations. You will not bring Jesus through your descendants, the seed that he promised him. I know the word in the NLT is descendants, but actually it's the seed, a seed. And you'll find Paul talking about that in Galatians. He said, seed, as with one seed. Okay? You will not be able to do that by the flesh, by your own hand. It can only be done by my spirit. It can only be done by my spirit. So let me presence yourself in you. This is my heart desire from the beginning. I created man in my own image so we would have that relationship and we would have that intimacy and closeness. And men messed it up. And I want to restore them back. And I'm choosing a family as I chose a family in the beginning. I chose Adam and Eve. I created them. And I'm choosing you. And if you would allow me to lead you, if you would hear my voice, if you would live for me faithfully, even though you have mistakes, even though you fall, even though you have your own weaknesses and you sin, I will put my spirit in your midst, in your heart. I will join myself to you as one. And the nation that will be my nation, a nation that would be priests and kingly nation for me, a nation that would believe in Jesus and follow him, a nation that would live for me, will come from you. I would say Abraham, when he started the journey, didn't know really the extent. And God kept getting his vision bigger. He came to a point and he told him in chapter 13 and 15, surely no, your descendants in chapter 15 will inherit this land, but after 400 years. So he knew he's not living for himself. He will not get the land. And yet by faith, the inheritance that he left for his descendants, that land, that promise, God will come. By faith, Joseph said, take my bones with you because surely the Lord would visit you and get you out of this land. He started knowing who God is. He saw his faithfulness with him. I messed it up and he stayed faithful. I messed it up and he's loyal. I messed it up and he's so committed. I messed it up and he's so kind. I messed it up and he's so good. And still he wants to be in my heart. He gives me his spirit. So he thought, yeah, I trust him. So Abraham believed and God counted that as righteousness to him. Abraham believed because God is worthy of trust, not because he was such a powerful man of faith. It's because God, who kept in his kindness, in his grace, showing himself to Abraham, showing himself to Abraham, showing himself to Abraham. Ur of the Chaldean, showing himself to Abraham. Haran, showing himself to Abraham. Shechem, showing himself to Abraham. To Abraham. Bethel, again. Hebron, again. And then he's saying, the guy that showed me himself is trustworthy. This is God's goodness. He wants to journey with you and show you himself. Not just show you himself. He wants to journey with you and be in your heart by his Spirit. He wants to journey with you and enable you to be way more than who you are and what you dreamt of and what you think. And he wants to strengthen you that you can be sticking to him and faithful to him, even though the name that he would call you, you could be mocked for that. The promises that he would give you, people would say you're certifiable, you're crazy. That's the journey that God is calling you and I to. That's the journey of Abraham. When he is his father because of what he did, because he became a friend of God, he became a friend of God because God is seeking friendship with you. He became faithful because of God's faithfulness. He became great. His name, not as a famous name, not as a brand name. He became great as in his character because God transformed him into being great. And through him, the vision of God redeeming the whole world came through that guy. I want to share with you the last slide. And it speaks about those three points. It says that God would take us and turn us, give us faith. And that faith is beyond what is seen. We cannot see the descendants. We cannot even see in the beginning. We cannot see the land. We cannot see the possibility that I'll be great. He wasn't a king. And he wasn't the son of a king. And why? Why would it be that he would be such a blessing that all the families of the earth would be blessed in him beyond what is seen? And then vision beyond our own lifetimes. He came to know from the Lord that it is for the descendants. And it is in generations. And that's not even about Isaac. It's a seed that will come later on. It's about the salvation. Do you remember when Jesus talked about Abraham? He said, Abraham wanted to see my day. And he was glad to see my day. He knew about Jesus. This is why he made sacrifices. He knew it has to be the cross. It has to be the salvation from the Lord. Beyond our own lifetimes. Not living for himself, not living for what he can get now. He had it all. He could have lived for himself beyond our lifetimes. And faithfulness beyond other opinions. People will mock you. I'll tell you what, you will mock yourself. If you're really living for the Lord, you will wake up days and you say, honestly, I'm believing that. It can't be. Look at me. All of a sudden now I'm going to transform lives and heal the sick and raise the dead. And you tell people that you believe in Jesus. Tell people that you believe that he raises the dead. He heals the sick. He saves. And that you need to be saved. They will mock you. They will mock you. Only if you have the Spirit of God in you. That is crying, Abba Father. That is giving you this assurance of salvation. And that is teaching you all what God has for you, that you would live for that. You can't be faithful. God is not expecting you that you can do that on your own. God is expecting you to be faithful to Him and live a blameless life by His Spirit. It's not by power nor by might. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. God is not asking you to do it with your own hand. If at the end of your name, your character, there is a yod, God wants to change that and gives you His breath of life. Stand up, church. Let's agree together. We are who we are. Our weaknesses, our failures, our mistakes, our fears. And it's only by God's Spirit that you would be strengthened to experience God's love, who would take you on a journey and be your friend and keep revealing Himself to you and not letting go. He's faithful, He's loyal, He's committed, He's kind, He's gracious, His goodness be showered on you. And God is telling you, I would like to just presence myself. I would just like to breathe my Spirit in the midst of who you are. And I want to make you great. I want you to inherit this promise. I want you to be part of that nation. And I want you to win nations. I want you to become king, a king of nation. I want to make you a blessing, where all the families of your street would be blessed in you. All the families of your work would be blessed in you. All the families of your kids' school would be blessed in you. And I know you can't do it, but I'll give you my Spirit. I'll give you my Spirit. Because I want to be your great reward. And I am your shield. I am your protector. I am the Almighty, the All-Sufficient. Just pray and say, Lord, I want your Spirit. I accept what you have for me. I know that I can't have faith, but you can give me faith. You will show me who you are until I am filled with faith. Lord, you will pour your Spirit on me until I'm alive, alive, alive. Lord, you will open my eyes and I will see beyond myself and I won't be stuck in myself anymore. I won't live for myself. I won't be self-centered. But you will show me who you are. So I would live for you. I would live for you. And Lord, we will see your kingdom come and we will see your will be done. And the families of earth would be blessed by your Spirit in us. Give your heart, give your life to Jesus.
Thanks so much for listening to this recording. We hope it's encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've been aware of the voice of God and the presence of Jesus with you wherever you've been listening to this recording. Hey, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life and how He's speaking to you that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just email admin@wellspring-church.org. Do get in touch. We can't wait to hear from you. And may God be near you and His peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.